Good morning. As has been the custom here for the last few years, the elders take time the first part of the year, first couple months of the year, to go over some of the results from the previous year and plans for next year. I say results, some of the finances and some of our statistics as far as attendance and membership. As is the case at all times, we take our responsibilities very seriously. We realize that we will give an account for the things that are done here and for our work to help and aid the members here to get to heaven. And we appreciate your prayers and your words of encouragement. And we are humbled at the privilege that we have to serve you as elders. And we are your servants. We are not your bosses. We are your servants. And we so appreciate that opportunity. So we will be talking a lot about figures, whether there'll be financing money or whether there'll be attendance figures. We want you to know that these are used to help. It's not about the money. We're not a business. We're not going to run a business. A lot of churches, they're all about the money. They're all about how many times we can pass the plate during one worship and see how much money we can get. But money is necessary for us to carry out the work here at the local church, as well as to aid and help support gospel preachers around the world. Contribution comparisons, we will see some downward trends for a couple of years, and that is that's related primarily to our numbers. We've lost some large families, and we've lost some large families moving away, some that have changed to another church here in town, and we have been concerned about this, and we're doing all that we know to help with this. You can see our weekly averages: 3,900, 4,000, 3,500, and 3,560 was 2016's. When we're talking about these weekly budgets, that sounds like a lot of money. But I'm going to go over just a few things. I won't bore you with the figures. A few things, maybe all the things that go into all the expenses that we have. We have benevolence, Bible study supplies, building cleaning, our communion supplies, evangelism around the world as well as here locally, gospel meeting expense, summer Bible study, preacher training program, which I've got that on that list. We keep that in front of us at all times because we do not plan to have preacher training this year on near the scale that we've had. It may not be able to have it at all, but that is a goal that we have because we think that's important. But we do not have anything budgeted for this year. So we'll have to get our contribution up some and get to where we can support that again. Our insurance on a property and a building maintenance, building updates that are planned, that are needed, some of which would include the parking lot, not just the hole out here that needs to be fixed, which is, we haven't forgotten that, and that's in the works. Our parking lot repairs, probably at least a crack fill and possibly the seal, the seal coat that needs to be applied to it. Office, which would be office supplies, includes printing. Kyle's salary and his insurance, maintenance on the house, any house updates that need to be made, taxes, withholding and FICA taxes, telephone, utilities on this building as well as the preacher's house. We are fortunate in this church that we have deacons and other members that are able to do a lot of repairs. They can do a lot of things. We've had the foyer painted, deacon and another member. We've had doors replaced. We've had the audio video equipment worked on and improved, and we're really blessed in that regard. And we are we strive to be good stewards of the Lord's money. And we appreciate the assistance that we receive from our members here in helping with some of that. And we may be calling on more of us to do some of that. We have, in addition to the parking lot, as we can see, this carpet at some point is going to need to be replaced. We need to paint the eaves on this building. We probably need to work on some of the bathrooms, some of the fixtures in the bathrooms, and we've got outside repairs here, these columns out here in front that need repaired. And anytime you have a building, it just takes money to keep it up and to repair it. Summary of 2016 contributions. Our regular contribution, we're differentiating regular from the special contribution. As members here know, and those of you who are visiting, Christians in Zimbabwe and Botswana have gone without rain, and they're subsistence farmers. They have to grow the crops to furnish their own food. They've suffered from drought conditions for a couple of years. We've raised $22,654 last year for that, and that, as I recall, that fed almost 500 people for about 4 months. And we feel like that we have a responsibility, and we certainly have authority for doing this. Some of the money came out of the church treasury. Most of the money was a special contributions made by you people. So the total is $207,817 was our contributions. Summary of expenses for 2016 was the $207,558 contributions, $207,817, a surplus of $258. We feel fortunate that we had any kind of surplus. So thanks to your generosity. Our bank balance increased by $258. Now, $50,000, $51,000, almost $51,500, sounds like a lot of money. But any one or two major events, repairs, replacements that this church might need that are unforeseen, heating and air, so on and so forth, could take a big part of that, those funds, just to do that, so to take care of that. Funds used to preach the gospel in 2016, Brother Pope. We helped support five gospel preachers. We've had two gospel meetings and our summer Bible study, which we plan to continue that. I think this is be the third or fourth year, and that's been well received, and it's been a good work for this church, and we appreciate all the work that everybody here that works on that does on that. Men that we support, Javier Palomares is a Spanish-speaking gentleman, a sound gospel preacher in Dumas and Amarillo, Richard Thetford in Fort Collins, Colorado, Warren Schultz in South Africa. He's the gentleman that we send the funds for the food aid to him, and administers that. And Derek Chambers in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Tim Stevens in Kemp, Texas. Total support for outside preachers last year was 17.4. We plan to continue to continue with that support. Gospel meetings in 2016, we had Tommy Peeler in the winter and Brett Hoagland in the fall. This year, we have in the spring, in April, last part of April, 23rd through 28th. Is that right, gentlemen? Does that sound right? We have John Isaac Edwards from Terre Haute, Indiana, scheduled to be here. And in the fall, we have scheduled Danny Dow from Sinton, Texas. Summer Bible studies will continue. We had great participation by our Bible class teachers as well as others. And preachers from the area congregations took part. And it gave us an opportunity to hear these gentlemen and to get to know them. And budget for 2017 is $3,700. Now, that's a pretty good jump. And we certainly hope that we can meet that. That is budgeting some money for some of the building updates and repairs that we'll need. And also, it's kind of hard to budget for benevolence. You don't know what's going to come up, but some money for benevolence and for just our ongoing work here at Olson Park. So we try not to preach a whole lot on trying to encourage additional contributions on your part. But we would encourage you to consider whatever you can do. Preacher training program in the future as we grow, like I mentioned a minute ago. Okay? By the way, we do meet the elders meet every second and fourth Wednesday after our regular worship. You are welcome to come visit with us if you need to talk to us. And if that time does not work for you, you can get a hold of one of us and we'll make a time that will work for all of us. Thank you.
Real quickly, I'd like to echo some of the things that Jeff said. We do consider ourselves, and Scripture teaches that we are servants, we are not your bosses, and we are here to help you, and it is a privilege to watch over this group and try to help this group be what it needs to be and should be. We appreciate your attitudes and the things that you've done for us in the way we handle things. We appreciate your help. We have a few things to consider with our computer. Okay, I got it. We want to talk a little bit about the statistics, and then I'll have a few other comments to make. But 2016, just the attendance and things that we look at, we'll look at our membership numbers, also the attendance that we have here at the building, and those numbers. Specifically looking at membership statistics, in 2014, our numbers off a little bit there, but we're looking at those that were baptized there. In 2014, 2 years ago, two years ago, we had two that were baptized. In 2015, we had three. This year, we did not have any. That does not mean we have not grown. That does not mean we're not working. We think we see a lot of spiritual growth and people getting stronger. As far as restored, during 2014, we had one restored. 2015, we had one. And this year, so far, last year, 2016, we did not have any that we would consider in the restored category. Sometimes we have people move in and move out. In 2014, we had six people move in. Last year, or 2015 anyway, we had 11 people moved in. And then in this last year of 2016, we had eight. So we do have people coming in and going from time to time. Those that moved away in 2014, we got hit pretty hard. We lost about 22 people leaving for jobs in other cities, which, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. 2015, we lost nine. In 2016, we had lost 8, so we basically kind of broke even with those that were moving and then those that were coming in that were joining us. We also, unfortunately, have those that pass away from time to time. 2014, we lost one. 2015, we were fortunate enough that we did not lose any members, but this last year, we have lost 2. Sister Dixie Gray passed away, and also Brother Rusty Crabb passed away, who had not been able to attend with us for a long time, being a shut-in. But we do keep up with these people and try to do what we can do for them. We do also try to keep up with the best as far as those who quit or decide that they're no longer interested in serving the Lord. According to Scripture's teachings, 2014 and 15, we were lucky enough or fortunate enough we didn't have any, but this last year we felt like we lost 3 people. It does not mean that we have counted them off. We hadn't written anybody off. We continue to work with every opportunity that we have. If you have opportunities, we would implore you to continue to encourage anybody that has walked away from us and no longer serving the Lord. Our net, in basically 2014, we were hit kind of hard by people moving away. In attendance and membership, we lost 17. 2015, we kind of broke even. And this last year, if you look at all the things that have happened to us, our membership is down by about 5. Attendance, last year at our annual meeting, we had kind of changed our attendance format, going from Sunday morning and Sunday night to meeting just Sunday morning and having 2 services there. So it's kind of hard to look at those and consider everything. But in our first worship this year and last year, we're looking at just the new format that we have had. 2015, at our very first morning at 9 o'clock, we averaged 123. This last year, it's 120, so we're down 3 on our 9 o'clock worship service. Our Bible classes are also down a little bit. We averaged 124 and 15. This last year, we averaged 122. But our 11 o'clock worship seems to be catching a little bit more people. We averaged 114 in 2015, and 2016 we're averaging right about 125. It's a new format for us. We're kind of getting used to it. We're starting to see some things that we weren't necessarily planning on or didn't know that we would see. So Jeff and I continue to discuss these things and work with it, and we'll see what we can come up with and try to deal with these. On Wednesday night, our Bible classes has not changed. In 2015, we had an average of 105. 2016, we had 106, so we had an increase of 1, but basically we're about the same right there. I did have a few other things I just wanted to mention. Jeff covered a lot of things that we have done and looking forward to this next year. One thing that we have been asked to do, and we'll start this next quarter, Brother Trevor Yance is going to lead a class for song leaders, and we're going to put them out in the classroom next to the elder's office. And if you're interested in that, you need to start thinking about that. Young men, gentlemen, we're not telling anybody you can't come. If you're a new song leader, if you're somebody who's never led singing and would like to do that, we encourage you to come. If you lead singing up here on a monthly basis and you still want to attend, we invite you to come. We are limited a little bit in space in that classroom, so hopefully we'll fill it up, and if we have to open the door, we'll open the door. Hopefully we won't impede upon the Bible class in here while Kyle's teaching during that time. One other thing we did accomplish this last year, and we discussed several times, and I just wanted to be sure, I know you're aware of it, but just give some kudos here. The website has totally been redone and changed. Not that we were having a lot of trouble with the website. One thing I've learned over the few years is trying to serve as an elder is one of the most difficult things to do is communication. We've got 130 plus people that we try to deal with on a weekly basis, and everybody is at different places, at different ages, different interests, and just one way is not necessarily going to communicate with everybody the best that we can. So we were looking at the website. We looked at some things and were aware of some things like Facebook. And there are some concerns we had about getting in and are using Facebook. Not that there's anything evil about Facebook, not that there's anything wrong with it. We're looking at the internet and security, and we felt like we needed some other things that people wanted to do. So Kyle took on this job, and it was a major job, and he spent an awful lot of time with it, worked very hard on it. Unfortunately, Jeff and I are not just real big techies. So we weren't a whole lot of help to Kyle. In fact, he probably felt like he had a couple of anchors tied around his waist when he was working on this. But we had a lot of questions, and he did most all of it, so we need to appreciate the things that Kyle does. But the website was totally redone, and the things that just I know about, Kyle can probably tell you more things about it than I can. It will now work on any size device, your telephone, your iPads, your computers, whatever you use to get on the internet. And you can adjust the size of the screen where before there was a lot of stuff you couldn't see if you were trying to deal with it on your phone. I'm from a different generation, and I understand that. I don't understand the hoopla about telephones and smartphones as much as everybody else. I won't pretend to learn it either, but I do understand it is the communication process that the young people are using. So we're trying to stay updated as best we can. Kyle's the closest thing we've got to your age, so we kind of dump it on him. not only that, but we have discovered and feel like the new website will provide you safer communications, and we won't have to worry as much about hacking and information that we really don't want to get out into the world. So that was an update. That was an improvement that he has done for us. We also are making announcements on it, so everybody can kind of see it. You can receive it. We have our facilitators list, what I call it, but the worship leaders, song leaders, those who are leading prayer. You have the ability to access this information at any time with your phone or your computer or your iPad. People can request for prayers, you know, on there. We also have the visitors cards that are listed there if you're interested in sending cards or communicating with somebody. You have that at your fingertips now rather than worrying about it being at the building or making a copy of something. Also, I believe this thing will continue to evolve as recently, not a month or so ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, the bulletins were added to it. So now you can receive the bulletins through your email if you don't want to pick one up here and have paper or whatever. It can be sent to you there. So I'm sure it will continue to evolve, but we appreciate it, Kyle. We really do. We know the work that you've done, and we hope that it will benefit and help everybody communicate. I'll have to agree with Jeff that there are a lot of things that we do have to do, and the $3,700 budget the budget at around $3,700 is a big jump. All we are asking for everybody to understand, and we have seen in the past, we cannot look into your hearts, and we do not know what is there because that's beyond our abilities, but we can look at actions. And for the years that I've tried to serve as an elder, the actions of people here have always been to step up and accept challenges and do the things that need to be done. And because of that, we feel like we're in good hands. We think we can handle this budget. We know that you will do your best to step up and help us with this, but just not the budget. We have all kinds of things going on here that a lot of us are not aware of, and the elders are not aware of all of it either. We have all kinds of ladies and men that help people on an ongoing basis, help our elderly, visit with our elderly, call, write cards, Bible classes are taught, and we know of a lot of things that go on, and we appreciate it. We also know there's things that go on that we don't know about. We encourage you to continue to work as servants and have a servant's heart as you do those things. And that brings me also, I'll try to be real quick here, the appreciation I think we need to tell our deacons. We have several deacons, and we need to thank them. Steve Dixon, Ryan Ferguson, Aaron Gressley, Ben Height, Blake McAllister, Brady McAllister, Sam Nunn, Lance Purcell, Rusty Scott, Justin Smiley, Trevor Yance. These guys all work when we're not here. I know there's a lot of times that we may feel like things don't get done when we want them done. Well, Ask my wife. Things don't get done at my house either when she wants them all done. These gentlemen have families, they have children, they have careers, they have a lot of things to do, but they do a marvelous job for us. And Jeff and I are very appreciative of the work that they do. We know that things would not work like they are here without you. You need to convey your appreciation to them when you get opportunities, if you will, because I know they feel like oftentimes it's a thankless job. They're doing what they can, but they hear a lot of complaints. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't discuss things with them. Just understand where they're coming from. They probably hear more negative than they do positive. So we want to be sure that they understand we appreciate the things they do. Chuck Kelly also does a lot of work for us, and we appreciate what he does. And things would not run as smoothly without him. Chuck, we appreciate you and what you've done for us. Also, Kyle and Tony Pope both have had a tough year this year. They have continued without fault. And I know they have been in our prayers, but they've had a rough year. We need to remember them. We need to thank them for what they've done. We need to continue to support them and help them. We're very lucky and blessed to have Kyle and Tony here, and we appreciate that you are here. Before I get worse, I'm going to step down and let Kyle give you an abbreviated lesson. And did we not have that one? Okay. Christy McAllister was baptized this year, so I guess we missed that one. We'll try. Thank you, Jeff. We'll try. Just to be sure everybody understands it, we'll add that to our numbers. So we did have an addition in a baptism. Kyle has a lesson for us, and then we'll go from there.
Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I'd like for us to look at a text there in just a few moments. Matthew chapter 22. As the evangelist here with the rest of the congregation, I want to start by extending our thanks to the elders for the good work that they do. Having worked as an elder here up until last March, I know that it is a lot of work. I know that often there are things that go on behind the scenes that we are not aware of. I know that it involves difficult decisions and hard work, a lot of hours behind the scenes that go on, and I appreciate so much the good work that these men do. I want to express my thanks to the congregation as well as we this time of year talk about the support that's offered to myself and to other gospel preachers. I acknowledge that I could not do what I do without the generosity of this congregation and your willingness to bear with me with all of my frailties and faults and to support my family so generously. And I thank my wife and family for the encouragement that they give to me in this work and the support that they are to me in so many ways. As we think about what we are doing here this morning, when we have a meeting such as this, you know, I know it may be easy sometimes to kind of get lost and caught up in numbers and statistics and money and not really stop to realize that the reason that we do all of this, the reason that all of this is important, the reason that our elders work so hard for us, the reason that we are engaged in the relationship with one another that we have, is because out of our love for God and our desire to serve Him, because of the grace and mercy that He's shown us in Jesus Christ, we are striving to encourage one another and to help one another go to heaven. That is what this is all about. This is, as Jeff said, it's not a business. It's not something in which we are engaged in a social club. We're trying to help each other go to heaven. In Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 37, Jesus talks to us about that which is the most important of all. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. You know, as we think about how it is that we respond to our Lord to show Him our love in our obedience to His will, in our love for one another, in our desire to share the gospel with those around us, that's what it's all about, trying to see how we may help each other go to heaven. These men that serve us as elders and as deacons, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like us to remind ourselves of what it is that Scripture tells us that the Lord, why it is that the Lord has put leaders within the church as He has. You'll notice that this passage talks to us about some leaders that were limited to the first century, but others that continue to this very day. And verse 11, going down through verse 16, says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors." That's the term that is used in Scripture for the elders. They are described as shepherds or pastors and teachers. Now, why? Why are these put in this position of leadership and guidance? Notice verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Notice that growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is what we're talking about here. That is the effort by which we try to grow with one another. We try to encourage one another. We try to help each other go to heaven. You know, as we think about that, if we are to do that in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to God, if we are to do that in a way that is effectual and not just, as we talked about some weeks ago, going through the motions, it demands that we have a certain kind of attitude, not only towards God, but towards one another. Over in Romans, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 tell us this: "Be kindly affectionate to one another." The New American Standard puts it, "Be devoted to one another." Notice, "with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." As we think about that, in our relationship with God, in our relationship with one another, am I helping you go to heaven by being devoted to you? Are you helping me go to heaven by that attitude of feeling devoted to me and to my brothers and sisters in Christ? That's the attitude we ought to have. Because so often if we fail to do that, what's the result? Well, it may be that we lose faith. It may be that we will turn away from the Lord, but we don't want to do that. We want it to be that we help each other go to heaven. And one last passage, if you go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, a very familiar passage, but we remember what it is that it talks to us about in this effort to do those things that God would have us to do, in this effort to try to help each other live as we ought to. Here the Hebrew writer writes, beginning in verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to," notice, "stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The inference there is if you don't do what verse 25 admonishes, that assembling of ourselves together, you will fail to stir one another up to love and good works. The danger of that certainly is if I am not faithful to the Lord, if I am not faithful to my responsibility, if I'm not devoted to my brethren and devoted to my Lord, what will result? Well, I may not go to heaven. I may not be with Him in eternal life. So we don't want to do that. We want it to be that we stir one another up to love and good works. Now, as I think about my role in this annual meeting that we have each year, throughout the years it's been rather different. Sometimes I may report about different things that have gone on. Sometimes we've set a theme for the congregation, or the elders have, and it's been something in which we try to announce that and encourage the brethren to think about that. Last year the elders did not do that, and this year there's not a theme really that we are offering. But as we think about what it is that we are all engaged in, as we think about why it is that our elders serve us as they do, and they call us to be faithful, they call us to love and good works, they call us to generosity that we might be able to support the gospel in ways that we haven't in the past, or we may be able to engage in those efforts that we have committed ourselves to. I want us, as we think about that responsibility, that privilege that we have to try to help each other go to heaven, to just kind of ask ourselves a few very personal questions that only we can answer for ourselves. You know, given this format that we mentioned that we've changed, it's kind of interesting because it used to be that, well, if you saw people in the Sunday morning services and Bible class, you might not necessarily notice if they weren't there Sunday night. But you know, it's interesting because while we recognize there are times in which people have work responsibilities, and that's part of the reason that the elders have set it up as they have, we recognize that sometimes there are health conditions that our elderly may not be able to be here for the 3-hour period that we are here. I want us to ask ourselves, and I think we should all personally ask ourselves, can we stay here for all services? You know, because the thing is, if in fact my brothers and sisters see me leave, is it going to be a discouragement to them? Is it going to be something in which they recognize, well, I've got some problem, or there's not really a problem, I just need to go home, I just am going to do something else, I've made other plans. Can I stay for all services? You know, we are in a situation now, every time that we offer announcements, we mention shut-ins that are in various facilities or that are around different places in town. We have opportunities, perhaps. Can I go and visit a shut-in to be of encouragement to them? Or if there's someone that we know, maybe we wouldn't classify them as a shut-in, but maybe it's something in which they just haven't been able to get out, or maybe they can come to one of the services and not others. Can I go and visit them? Can I encourage them in ways that perhaps I haven't over the last year? When it comes to the contribution that I offer, I echo what the elders said, that I don't ever want it to be that we're preaching every lesson about how much we are offering, and it's no one's business except the Lord's. But as I think about it personally and purpose within my own heart, as we think about, well, there are these responsibilities the local church has, if there was more, they could do these things. I know when I served as an elder, nearly every week, there was a request from some gospel preacher in some part of the country or the world at large for help, for support in their effort. Can I contribute more so that the church here can do more to help people go to heaven, to help one another go to heaven? Can I have someone in my home? You know, we have had, for the last few years, personal work groups in which we were all in one another's homes, and the elders are deciding whether or not they are going to continue with those or not. But whether they do or not, we recognize from the example in Acts chapter 2 that Christians need to spend time with one another. Can I have someone in my home? Can I find ways in which I can encourage someone? Whether it's been a lesson that's been offered, a prayer that has been offered, someone that's led singing, someone that has done a Bible class, someone that we know about something in their life that's going on. Can I go to them directly and try to lift their spirits, to offer them encouragement in the things that they are doing? Can I participate more? Whether it's a matter of comments that are offered in class, whether it's a matter of some extra activity. You know, we're going to begin planning the summer Bible study here, and that's a wonderful opportunity for all sorts of members to get involved in all sorts of ways to help that be a success. If I haven't done it in the past, can I do that this year? Or other kinds of things. Maybe there are ways in which you can teach friends and neighbors, or maybe you don't feel like you can lead the study, but you can open your home and ask a preacher or ask a teacher or ask one of the elders or deacons to come and to help with that? Are there ways I can participate more to help others go to heaven? In my personal life, can I be more constant in prayer? Can it be that I recognize the needs that my brethren face or the needs of my country at large? Can it be that I am constantly talking to my God about my family in prayer? Can it be that I grow more in God's Word? I hope that it's not the case that the only amount of spiritual nourishment that we get is from the times that we are here together. That's important, and we need to do that. And as I just said, can we be more constant in that and regular in our attendance? But what about when you're at home? What about when you have a break at work? Are you studying God's Word then? Are you growing more in your understanding of it? And all of this ultimately is to help answer this question. Can I help you go to heaven? Can you help me go to heaven? If you're here this morning, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a God in heaven that has loved us when we were unlovable, loved us when we had sinned against Him and were in rebellion to Him. He sent Jesus to die for us, unworthy though we were. And because of that love, He has extended to us the opportunity that if we will put our faith in Jesus as the sacrifice for sin, if we will confess that faith before men, repent and turn from sin that separates us from God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, the Bible teaches us that in so doing, we put on Christ. The Lord adds us to His body, the church. And as we abide faithfully in His Word, as we've talked about this morning, we have the hope of heaven that rests before us. We encourage one another then as faithful Christians towards that goal of heaven. If you've not done that this morning, all things are ready and prepared. If as a Christian, maybe somehow along the way you've gotten sidetracked and that goal of heaven has been set to the side and you've become engaged in sin, you've not been serving the Lord as you ought to, we'll give you the opportunity to ask for the prayers of the brethren here. It is our honor. It is our privilege to put an arm around you and to encourage you so that we can help one another go to heaven. If we can help you, won't you come? While we stand and sing.